Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to all of our mothers and grandmothers. We have a little special message here. For all of you this morning, here we go.
I got married young. I was 18 and had my first baby that first year. The joy that came when they put that baby in my arms was such an absolute gift. I just was so excited and just so thrilled and so thankful.
Loved watching them grow and develop, and the hugs, the time that I spent with them.
All the memories that we've made since my kids were born, and the special things that we've been able to do together, special times we spent together.
I think I would say, chill out. I really feel like I could have just let loose a little bit.
Just keep doing what you're doing because you're on the right path. It's hard work being a mom.
But you love that child so much that you're going to try to make the best choices that you can make to raise that child.
I tried to be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, but you can't.
You're not going to be perfect.
Instead of worrying about all the housework getting done or the dinner on the table at the right time, just be present with the kids.
You don't have to have the designer nursery, all the fancy toys. All they want is to be loved, just to be loved and hugged and cared for.
What a gift it is that God has given us to have these children. Now we have great grandkids that we were able to have family dinners, holidays. I was able to do Bible studies with them when they were little. I'm so thankful that God gave me the health and the ability that we could do that.
In my upbringing, I have so many good memories. My dad reading the Bible at the table. My mom was very loving and patient. And they have instilled in me that need to see my kids grow up that same way, to love the Lord and know that Jesus loves them. What God has done in our lives, He's kept us all healthy and strong.
I'm just thankful to God for giving us our kids, giving us the opportunity to raise them and love them and spend time with them.
And I'm thankful that my kids are carrying on that legacy. I see them doing what we did. They're having the family dinners. They're doing Bible studies. So it is truly a blessing.
We are so blessed as a family, and I just thank God for that.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, friends. Have a wonderful day.
And happy Mother's Day to all of you. What a great gift that God has given to all of us and our mothers, and what a great gift God has given to you mothers to be such a legacy to all of your children, your grandchildren. Some of you might look at it as maybe a burden. I don't know, because you have that thing to pass on. You have that. I don't want to say make it sound like burden. There's got to be a better word than burden. But to all of your children as they come up, to make sure that they're raised in the ways of the Lord, to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about what Scripture teaches us, and not only to them but to your grandchildren and great grandchildren. Be an example to them as they grow up. Our mothers are many things to us, but this is true because of one thing. her undying devotional love to her children. I've come to the conclusion that that there's good reason why our mothers have a real propensity towards wearing hats. They like hats. And that's because they wear so many of them. Mothers are teachers, mothers are disciplinarians, mothers are cleaning ladies, some mothers are gardeners or mowers of lawns, and most mothers understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows, and some of our mothers are hold those cookies in bribery over their children and grandchildren to make sure that those dishes are done and to make sure that those windows are washed and so on and so forth. Not that I speak from experience or anything. And most mothers understand that there are so many other things too. There are mothers that are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches, and how many other hats can you possibly wear? Mothers are developers of personalities and molders of vocabularies and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices that say, "I love you." And mothers, I think most importantly, are a link to God. A child's first impression of God's love. You might say they're our lasting impressions. A junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire class. The next day he gave his students a quiz. The first question read like this: "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" Half the kids in the class wrote down "mother." See, mothers are all of these things and much, much, much more. All of this is because of her immense love. It's an infectious love. Love that is influential and impactful. You ever had your life truly impacted by the life of someone else? I mean, really impacted. It's like the actions of someone else didn't just stay contained within their own life, but they leak over into yours. In the case of our mothers, those sacrificial, intentional acts didn't just leak. They were poured all over us. Intentionally, on our behalf, to make us better people. Our recognition that our mother's love is probably the closest example that we can observe to that of God's love. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over again and would even dare to lay down its own life for its offspring. Sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't. God's Word shows us many examples of mothers, the unselfish nurturing of their children, and the impact that love has had. On his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul is introduced to a young man, a teenager really, whose life was greatly impacted by the influence of not only his mother, but also his grandmother. Eunice was a Jewish woman who herself was influenced by the godly upbringing of her mother, Lois. Eunice was taught the stories of Scripture from a young age, and she revered God's Word. Though her faith was strong, as sometimes happens, she met and married a man who was unequally yoked. He was a non-believer. He was a Greek man. And they lived in the city of Lystra in Asia Minor. Together they had a son named Timothy. Now Timothy's mother made a lasting impact on young Timothy's life. Through the influence of his mother and his grandmother's upbringing, he was also a believer. Now at the end of the 15th chapter of Acts, we find where Paul and Barnabas, teaching and preaching in Antioch for some time, decided to embark on a second missionary journey, one in which they would return and visit and encourage the churches that they had established on their first missionary journey. Initially, it was Barnabas that Paul chose to partner up with, but circumstances occurred that changed that to Silas. This time, they would be heading the opposite direction, geographically speaking, traveling through Syria and Sicily, going to Derbe, and then to Lystra and then Iconium and so on and so forth. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to open to Acts chapter 16, and our text is in the first five verses there I'll be reading from. I'm reading from the NASB version, New American Standard Version. If you're reading from the NIV, it might sound slightly different, but pretty much the same. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, and was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily." So when Paul came to town, he preached a gospel message about Jesus. Timothy and his mother drank in all that he taught them about Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy and the promised Messiah. Paul took a particular interest in Timothy and invited him to travel on with Paul in his missionary journey. None of this would have come to pass were it not for the impact of Timothy's upbringing. The first thing we can observe here, we can see from our text here, is that it was an impact. The impact that he received from his mother and from his grandmother is that it was an impact that instilled a respect for Scripture, for God's Word. Many years after this initial meeting of Timothy and Paul, Paul would appoint Timothy to care for or pastor the congregation at Ephesus. During that time, and while Paul was in prison, he wrote the letters of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy as letters of encouragement and instruction for Timothy's ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, Paul says this. He says, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, Scripture is always true. Scripture, you can lean on it, you can depend upon it, you can always go to it when the chips are down, when things are looking bleak for you, you can always go back to Scripture and recall what you know to be true about God. Paul tells Timothy right up front, this ministry thing is not going to be an easy task. It's not always going to be roses and peaches. There's going to be a persecution. There's going to be persecution in verse 12 here. That's a given. Stick with what you know. Be steadfast in the truths of Scripture, the credibility of Scripture. You know who it was that taught it to you, and you can trust them. They wouldn't steer you wrong. You've seen things, you've seen these truths modeled in your mother. You've seen them modeled in your grandmother and in me, Paul. You've seen it work. Scripture also is something that is internalized. It must be internalized. Scripture, he says, makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not just by reading it, but by taking it in, applying it to your daily life, putting it in here and letting it manifest itself out there in your daily life. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Here we go in verse 6. "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Not just in your brain, they'll be on your heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up again." There was a point in my Christian life when, you know, I used to just adore the fact that my grandmother, she could rattle off Scripture. You know, it didn't matter what the occasion was. I could come up with a question about this or that or something that was going on in my life in school when I was going to school or something. I'd talk to her about it, and she'd have a Scripture. And she'd say, "You know, the Bible says this about that." And she wouldn't miss a word, chapter and verse. And I would just admire that so much. I used to think to myself, man, I wish if I could just know the Bible like Grandma knows the Bible, man, that would be so great. Man, I can't remember. I do all I can do to remember John 3:16. And I can remember praying so hard. That God would instill His Word in my heart. That I would be familiar with His Word. Maybe not memorize it like that, but I would know where it was in Scripture. I'd know where to go for what needed to be applied in certain circumstances and all that kind of thing to really envelop His Word and apply it to my heart. Into that, to where I could live it. And, you know, over the years, He's done that. He's been very faithful in that and made Scripture come alive to me and has built it into my mind and into my heart so much greater. Now, I'm certainly far from, I wouldn't call myself a Bible scholar, but I'd say I'm way ahead of what I was when I was a kid, that's for sure. To where I know where it talks about certain instances, certain situations, and certain things that apply to things in my life. We need to internalize Scripture. Mothers, it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to our children and our grandchildren, and it's never too late either. Secondly, impact-wise for Timothy, it was an impact, the impact that he got from his mother and from his grandmother instilled sincere, authentic faith. Do you truly want to impact your children, their lives for the kingdom? Instill in them a sincere, authentic faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says to Timothy, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." What an inheritance. What a great legacy. What a great thing to pass on to your children and to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Faith is a learned trait. As we see and experience truth, faith is developed. When your grandkids or when your kids come to you and they say, you know, how do you have so much faith? Why do you not worry about this? And why do you not worry about that? You know, well, we prayed about it. We've turned it over to the Lord. Well, yeah, that's good. You know, but how do you know this? And how do you know that? Well, you know, and when we think back of all the many things that grandma or mom or dad prayed about and turned over to prayer and how God answered those prayers, they instill faith in us. That same faith that worked for mom and dad, that same faith that worked for grandma can work for us as well. As we experience truth, faith is developed. That faith resides within us. Just as Scripture is internalized, so is faith. And that faith manifests itself in the outward actions and life of the person. Both Eunice and Lois modeled their faith to Timothy through their actions. In his adult life, Timothy also witnessed to Paul a life of faith. And that same faith apparently was showing itself in the life of Timothy as well. It's pretty hard to fake faith, isn't it? You can talk a good talk, but you need to walk the walk as well. To walk the walk of faith. Walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. Mothers, does your life display a sincere faith in God? Only you can answer that question for yourself. Or is it simply, do as I say, not as I do? Your children can tell if it's genuine. If you truly believe and apply God's word in your life, be a godly example in the choices that you make. Be a godly example in prayer. Is prayer the first place that you go, or is it the last resort? Thirdly, the impact that Timothy received from his mother, from his grandmother, it was an impact that instilled a desire to minister. Now, I've shared many times from this pulpit before that I feel totally responsible that the only reason that I'm here. I mean, God called me. I know He did. I know I've been in God's plan since before history. But my grandmother told me many times that she prayed for me that I would be a minister. Before I was even born, she prayed for me constantly as a child and when I was a teenager and even when I grew up and I didn't go into ministry immediately. For all those years I was in business and, you know, she always prayed for me that God would use me in this way. Impact your children's life by instilling a desire to minister. Now, minister doesn't mean preaching. It doesn't have to be preaching. It can be, Lord knows what all. Whatever way that God uses you to minister, to be His servant in whatever way, God uses us for a multitude of ways. Just be ready and willing and able to be used of Him. Even in ways that you don't think that you're usable. We're called to minister to others. Sometimes that involves teaching, serving in some way, preaching. Sometimes it could be It could be singing, or it could be whatever it might be, but not necessarily. What it involves is caring for the needs of others. Three particular qualities Paul points out in our Acts text. In verse 1, he refers to Timothy as a disciple. And a disciple was there, it says, Timothy, named Timothy. Mathetes, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but Mathetes, which translates into English as a strong believer or a disciple, a follower or a student. In my messages that I preached on discipleship, we hashed that out and talked about what a disciple truly is. Is a student or an apprentice of a teacher. Secondly, Timothy in verse 2 says that Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So he was a young man of integrity. He was well thought of, well looked on, and revered in his community. And thirdly, in verse 3, Paul was so impressed with Timothy that he wanted to take him along with him and Silas on the remainder of their missionary journey. Paul wanted this man, Timothy, to go with him. He was available. Timothy was available. He was young, he was unattached, and he had a genuine desire to serve. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, again, Paul's talking to the Philippians there in that letter, referring to Timothy. He says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." He's talking about Timothy there. We are saved to serve. Jesus Himself says, "I came not to be served, but that I may serve." Don't we all want to make mom happy? We all want to make mom happy. More importantly, don't we all want to make God happy? Well, one of the greatest pains in a mother's heart is that her child does not know Jesus. It's difficult to be apart from those we love in life. But to be apart from them for all eternity, even to think about an eternity without those that we love most dearly, is a tough subject to think about, much less even address. So on behalf of moms everywhere, if you've never given your life to Jesus, what better time is there than today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Mom loves you and has exhausted prayers and tears on your behalf. But this relationship, this redemption of your life that stands available to you today, while it would indeed be the greatest Mother's Day gift you could ever give, this is between you and your Heavenly Father. He created you, even though you were sinful and far separated from Him. While we all were yet sinners, His Son Jesus shed His sinless blood for you and for me so that we could be reconciled once again to Him, sinless and righteous and with the gift of eternal life. A gift from Jesus, who, by the way, also prays for you, just like Mom. Do it for Him. Do it for Jesus. Do it for you. But of all things, do it today. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8 says, "Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah." Will you pray with me today? Father in heaven, we praise You and glorify Your name. We thank You so much for your grace and your mercy, for sending your Son Jesus into this world to shed his sinless blood on the cross for us, to cover our sins, to make us righteous before you, Lord. Father, to give us a hope of a life eternal. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the mothers that you've blessed us all with. We thank you for their loving care, for the legacy that they've given us and shown us what faith is and what prayer is and taught us what Jesus is all about. Father, we just thank you for their godly example. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' example. We thank you for him and for his example and for what he did on the cross for us. This morning we just pray, Lord, for your conviction on those that don't know you this morning, that this might be the change that they need, the day that they commit their lives to you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.